Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 10:17 through 18. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. My guest today is foster and adoptive mom, Jessica Hurlbut from Messina, New York. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Jessica, you have 5 children, including 3 bio kids. You have an 8-year-old son. You mentioned his name. What's your son's name?
Jeremiah. He's my oldest. Yep.
Okay. 8-year-old Jeremiah, 7-year-old Maura.
Yep.
Maura, who has autism. You had shared that. And 3-year-old Jake. And then you have 2 children adopted through foster care. They are siblings, 3-year-old Isaac and 2-year-old Emma. Did I get that all right?
Yep.
Okay.
You're right. I'm impressed.
All right. I have it all written down. I cheated. So tell us how your family all came together.
Well, it wasn't quite planned, but that's kind of life. But God knew. So we had our son, obviously, first. And about 3 months later, I found out I was pregnant for my daughter, which we weren't planning on having them that close together, but it worked out. So they're only a year apart, my son and daughter. And at the time, after I did my maternity leave for my daughter, I went back to work. Me and my husband are youth pastors at our church. And a couple years into, I was just working part-time at that time, probably around when my daughter was 2.5. We weren't able to, like, her daycare provider couldn't handle her. She was having lots of tantrums, so we kind of shuffled her around a little bit trying to find a better situation for her, but it really got to the point, and in the end I could see it was God's hand, like, guiding me, really, but that basically no one could take care of her and really just give her what she needed. So I was like, okay, God, this is you. So I had to make the tough decision to stop working altogether, and my husband kind of took over a lot of my role at the church, so I became a stay-at-home mom, and honestly, I probably went through 6 months of just disillusionment, depression, knowing that I was called to do so much for God, but at the same time wanted to take care of my family, so I felt very torn, probably about 6 months in, I felt like God reawakened a desire in me. Ever since I was a teenager, I've always wanted to adopt. I don't know why. I didn't even know anyone that had been adopted. I didn't know anyone that did foster care, but it was just there. And so about that time, I was really realizing, like, wow, I'm a stay-at-home mom now. Like, if I'm ever to do foster care, if I'm ever to adopt, it would probably be in this season. And I suddenly got excited, you know, staying at home sounded exciting now, like, wow, there's something God still has for me. Yes, I'm a mom, but I knew there was just more. So we did the classes, we became certified foster parents, and probably a couple months later, they called us for a newborn, which they always say, that never happens. Well, it happened for us, and so that's our son now, Isaac. But they told us when we picked him up, you know, we don't think this is long-term. Are you willing to take him for a month or two? His biological mom is doing well, and, you know, kind of just decided, yeah, you know, he needs a safe place and we'll take him. Of course, fell in love with him after 2 days. But the whole time you pray for, you know, God's will. And so probably a couple months in, we realized things weren't going as so well. And some things were discovered about the biological parents that deemed it unsafe. And a year later, we had adopted him, but through all of the fostering, even I think it was a week after we got him from foster care when he was a newborn, I found out I was pregnant, which was quite overwhelming. And my family, extended family, were all like, what are you doing? You can't do both. And I was like, yes, I can. God must think I can. So I'm doing both. Which felt kind of crazy for a while. And then once I had my son, we had found out that Isaac was going to have a sister, that the mom was pregnant, and she gave birth to Emma, who is my youngest, in January. So within a year's time, I had three babies under one.
Wow.
So it was like having triplets, really. So it was not planned at all, but somehow I just knew it was God. Even as scary as that was, I knew I was doing what he wanted me to do. It's getting a little easier now, but it was not easy. But it's honestly the best thing I've ever done. So that's my family.
Wow. So kind of like your extended family, you know, you've got biological kids. Now you have three. You know, why take on foster care? Why keep doing that?
That's honestly a question that I got asked a lot. Like, people just couldn't wrap their mind around why, if you can have your own kids, why would you do foster care? Why would you adopt? And honestly, what I try to, you know, it's hard to explain, but obviously there's a need there, but we can't be need driven. We can't just do things because of need. I knew it was a desire God had put in my heart, and I saw the need. So between those two things, and then just the idea of, it breaks God's heart, so shouldn't it break mine? And if I'm able to, and he frees me, you know, and guides me to, I want, you know, to fill that need. I want to do what I can. And that's kind of where he brought me. And honestly, like I said, like to be a part of the process of redeeming a life or two lives or however many that probably had very little hope, very little future. Like, there's nothing in the world that I'm going to ever do that I could get the Nobel Peace Prize. And it seriously is not going to compare in my mind, and I think maybe in God's, to literally, you know, being a part of a rescue and just redeeming these kids' lives. So that's why.
Yeah, because ministry, you don't have to be standing behind a pulpit to be
exactly
in ministry. We can serve God in our homes. A stay-at-home mom can serve God, at, you know, right there at home. God has a purpose for us.
Exactly.
It might look
and that was hard
different.
For me to shift. I definitely had to shift that perspective. To me, it was, you know, full-time ministry or serving in a church was, that's the only way God could use you. So God's really, really widened my view and changed that so much.
And just the whole adoption and foster care, you know, that is really the gospel in action. That is redemption. That is, you know, rescue. We don't really do the rescuing or the redeeming. God does that.
Right.
But he does that through us by bringing that hope to the children, vulnerable children.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, to contact us, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is adoptive mom, Jessica Hurlbut, of Messina, New York, way up near Canada there. Jessica and her husband are parents to three biological kids and two children, siblings adopted through foster care. Jessica, you've taken on a lot. We were just talking about, you've got three bios. One of them has autism, two kiddos from foster care. And if we keep track, they are 8, 7, 3, 3, and 2. That is a lot. is it worth it? I mean, you've got to have crazy days. And is it fulfilling? Mm. Is it worth all of that work and sacrifice of sleep
definitely.
And all that?
I mean, yeah, there are crazy days where it's mass chaos and screaming abounds. And, you know, just you can't imagine some of the scenarios in our home. But I have such a peace, honestly, not when all the screaming's happening, but in general of like, I know, even on the hard days, that is exactly what I was supposed to do. Like, there's never been a moment in time that I've doubted it, even when we've, you know, faced a lot of challenges since we've adopted them, as a lot of, I think, other people do experience, you know, taking a child into your home. There's a lot of challenges you can face with that. But, you know, like you said before, it's kind of the picture of what God does for us, and I'm reminded of that every day, and we're not easy to deal with always, and we need lots of forgiveness. But he makes us a part of his family, and it's just a beautiful picture. And I know just such a peace. I have such a peace, and I'm completely fulfilled. Some days I need a vacation.
Yes.
but we all do, right?
Yeah. So what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Sure. God's really burdened my heart, obviously, for adoption, but specifically, I guess when I started the foster care process, I didn't realize there was, I think they say it's over 100,000 kids.
Yeah.
100,000 kids that are freed from, you know, whatever happened with their biological parents. They're no longer, they're free to be adopted, and they're waiting. You can go online. There's a lot of great resources and websites, and there's all of these kids with, you know, little bios about them. And, like, the first time I saw that website and realized that, oh, my gosh, and they wait years. Some of them never, ever are adopted. They phase out of foster care, and then they just, you know, try to go to college or try to make a life for themselves, but they go nowhere for Christmas or Thanksgiving. Like, it blew me away. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And I guess I really feel my mission is to try to make that aware to people, because there's, I don't know what the latest, I think it's like 200 million people in the U.S. that profess themselves as Christians. So a lot of amazing people that love God, love people, but I literally don't, for whatever reason, there's a disconnect with that and the need of 100,000 kids, you know, 200 million in Christians, 100,000 kids. Those numbers don't compute in my head.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't, why are they even waiting? I don't, you know, and I just think, you know, that the need has not been known, or whether that's churches or, you know, no one's to blame. Like I've said before, nobody's pockets get lined. Nobody makes money by advertising that there's all these kids waiting to be adopted. It's in nobody's benefit except the kids. So therefore, it happens very rarely. There's very few people, like, really advocating for them. So that's really my goal, just to make that aware, to put that out there, and to pray that you don't, you know, we can't do things because of need, but that you pray and say, God, what part am I supposed to play in this? Whether it's financially supporting a family that wants to adopt, or, you know, doing foster care, you know, yourself, or adopting yourself, because I think we can fill that need and, you know, no time flat if people really seek God and ask his heart on it. So,
and that's what I found. I know, you know, the church does seem to be asleep on this matter. And I can say that because I was asleep on this matter. And, you know, my family, you know, we adopted a sibling group of four internationally. And we did that not because we knew statistics or not because we knew about the need, but because that's what God put on our heart to do. So we walked that out in obedience. And it was after that, that it was actually through, I had heard about Orphan Sunday. And so I got my pastor to agree to let us do Orphan Sunday at church. So in prepping for that, I searched the scriptures and I did some research on the internet. And I began to for the first time, really see all of those statistics. And I was like, how come I didn't know this? Like, and what are we doing about this? Because I didn't know, you know, that there was millions of orphans around the world still in, you know, in this day and age. And I didn't know that there was like 300,000 kids in foster care in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that there was that 100,000 kids who were released to be adopted and just waiting for families right here in America. New York State has some of the highest foster care numbers in the country. We have over 20,000 kids in foster care in New York State alone. Many of them are available for adoption. Not all of them are, but they all need someone to stand for them, to care about them, to open their home for them, even temporarily. And when I learned that, I was like, wait a minute, if me, you know, an adoptive mom, if I'm sitting here and I didn't know this, then the people sitting next to me in church, they don't know it either.
Exactly.
Somebody needs to tell them. And that's really kind of how Justice for Orphans was birthed, was through that, you know, just that passion to people need to know.
Right.
The church needs to be awakened. And that's one of our, you know, our key goals with our ministry is to rally the church, the Big C church, Christians everywhere, rally them and awaken them and bring this to their awareness so that they can begin to really pursue God's heart and how he would have them to, you you know, to fulfill this great need, because there's something for everybody to do. I mean, even if it's, you know, even if it's, you know, that precious, sweet little old lady in sitting in church next to you who bakes a really mean casserole. Boy, when a family gets a foster placement and they've got a bunch of kids showing up on their doorstep, that casserole is a huge blessing come dinner time.
Exactly.
So there's just something for everybody to do. So, but we know that there are misconceptions. I know you and I talked about some of these the other day. So share with us, Jessica, some of the misconceptions that the church has with foster care.
Sure. I think a lot of times one of the responses I got, like when I started doing foster care, was people would say, "Oh my goodness, like, you know, you're like foster care is just a bunch of troubled teenagers, like really, really bad kids." And I'd be like, "Where did that come from?" That's not true. And not to say there aren't troubled teens in foster care, but there's babies in foster care. Actually, in our county alone, there are so many, almost all the kids are under the age of 5 because parents end up having kids really young. They don't have jobs. They may have, you know, an addiction problem or, you know, violence in the home or whatever is going on. And these kids have to be removed because it's not safe. So I've got that. And even when I was younger, that was the only picture I even knew of foster care was, oh, you know, there's that one kid that's going to set your house on fire, something insane like that, that happened one time ever, you know? So that was one of the big misconceptions, you know, 99% of these kids are just kids, whether they're 0 or they're 18. And they've been in these horrible situations that were not fault of their own, and they have to be removed from them. So that was a big misconception. And I think it wasn't until I actually took children into my home and I brought them to church and people were taking care of them in the nursery and they all fell in love with them. And I was like, see, they're kids. They're all just kids. Like, it made it not as scary, I think, for people in our community, because it was so like, oh, what if this, what if that? And I'm like, we could say, what if this, what if that, about our own kids?
That's right.
I mean, I have a daughter who's autistic. You know, they're like, well, what if they grow up and they have, you know, this problem or fetal alcohol? And I'm like, oh, it's a roll of the dice, because look at my daughter. Like, I didn't get her from foster care. I didn't adopt her. I had her myself. Like, there's, you know, we're not in control of those things. We're only able to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. And then we have to trust Him that He's going to give us the grace to handle what that is. So I think that's a huge misconception.
Yeah, it definitely is huge. And like you said, there are, you know, yeah, there are troubled teens. There are a lot of teens in foster care.
Sure.
And, you know, teens, whether they're in foster care or not, are scary. And I can say that because I have like 3 of them in my house.
you know, by experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if they're biological or they come from someplace else. A teen is a teen. But they still have such huge needs, because I think you mentioned something earlier about when they age out of the system, most kids who age out of foster care, they don't go to college. They have, you know, who's navigating them through, this is how you buy car insurance, and this is how you fill out a college application, and this is, you know, how you, you know, maintain a job, and this is, you know, all of these things. This is, you know, they need parents who can be good role models to show them what a husband and a wife, you know, how they operate in a healthy marriage, and how they care for their children and healthy parenting relationships. And they need those role models in their lives because they don't have them. And when they don't get that, they age out of the system. And then more often than not, they repeat the cycle and they go on to have children who end up in foster care themselves.
Right.
So it takes that one, you know, just takes one person to say that one yes, and it can change the life of one kid, which can then go on to change the lives of, you know,
generations
of kids. So it's huge. And really, you know, we can all have our reasons why, oh, I can't, or what if this and what if that, but really, you know, go to God. And what is the Lord saying about this? We know what the scriptures are going to tell us, you know, that this is, you know, pure and faultless religion isn't about just caring about orphans. It's caring for them. We need to step into, you know, their trouble and care for them. And that's a hands-on thing. And that is what so often we are called to do. So there's so many different ways that we can help. And really, once you begin to build those relationships, it kind of takes the scary out of it.
Right. It's true.
Yeah. So Jessica, what is your church? I know your church is New Testament Church of Messina, New York.
Mm-hmm.
What is your church doing on behalf of kids in foster care? Are there adoptive families? Sure. What's it like there?
Well, we kind of got the ball rolling back a couple years ago, just from making the decision ourselves to do foster care, like I said, and as people started to see, like, wow, you know, this is interesting, and wow, you know, these kids are wonderful, and you know, we would share our heart just, you know, over coffee with people from the church or whatever. Other people within the church started to be interested and say, well, I think I could do that training. I mean, you know, I think I could, you know, possibly pursue this. And one of the challenges living in the middle of nowhere up by the Canadian border in New York is even just for us to go to the training, it's 45 minutes away in Canton, New York. And then it's a 3-hour training to become a certified foster parent. So when me and my husband did, it was actually 12 weeks back years ago when we became certified, when we did the 12 weeks of training, we would have to literally take 5 hours every week and get a sitter for our other children, and it was very hard. It was expensive. It was hard. We were willing to do it, but it was hard. So one of the things, as more people within the church and even in just our community, our town, started to say, well, I think I could do this, but I don't know how I'm going to swing, you know, 10 weeks of classes and, you know, 5 hours of babysitting. So our church kind of went to the organization that handles foster care in our county and said, look, we'd be willing to, for free, just give you this space. Our church is large. You could, if you're willing to, you could have classes here every week to certify foster parents. And they were so excited. The organization was just like, wow, no one's ever done that before. You know, what do we owe you? And we're like, we don't know. You don't owe us anything. And we were able to open it up to just people in the Messina area, too. So there were people from our church that were certified, but then there was also just people that lived around town that it just was more convenient for them. So we've offered 2 foster care certifications within the last couple years. And they're open to working with us again. If we get 5 foster families or individuals that want to be certified, they said, we'll host as many classes, you know, as possible if you can have 5 people that want to commit to do the training. So that's been a huge, just been a huge deal because it's motivated more people to be like, well, I could do that, you know, just made it a little bit more practical and easy for them to make that first step. And then go from there. So, yeah.
That's great. About how many people are in your church and how many families are fostering or adopting?
There's probably about 300 to 350 people in our congregation. And right now, I would say there's probably about 12 families. Some of them have adopted like us and now their home is closed. There's a bunch because we just did offer another class back 6 months ago. So there's a bunch of people that are now just foster parents kind of in the process. Some of them are waiting to adopt kids they've been fostering. So it's created almost like this community or small group of people that we can kind of like glean from each other and support each other when we're frustrated or, you know, we have questions and we don't know how to, you know, handle something with a social worker or whatever it is. So it's really been great. To just have that kind of community.
Kind of,
but I didn't have it, you know, and that's the thing, too, because there's a lot of people that, you know, are looking for support, but sometimes God might call you to be the first one to step out.
That's right.
You know, and as you do that, and that to me is what's overwhelmed me even more. Like, I never thought, I knew my decision was going to make a big impact on the kids I adopted, but I actually never, I don't know why, I just never realized the ripple effect of what that decision would do. Like, I can look out in the church and be like, oh, wow, they were adopted, you know, and not because of me, but that my yes created this atmosphere for other people to say yes, you know?
Yes.
And I get to be a part of that. Like, it's the most rewarding thing for me to not just what I have done, but to see other people like step into that and to see other kids brought into loving families and know that, like, wow, like my yes affected other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's no greater purpose to me. Like, I'm amazed by it, I guess.
Wow. Well, Jessica, thank you for your yes.
Thank you.
And for all that you and your church is really doing on behalf of vulnerable children. And thank you for being on the show today and sharing your story and for paving the way.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great.
Oh, it was an honor. I have some announcements just to share about some upcoming Justice for Orphans events that we can, we're hoping that you'll all add to your calendar. Our annual 5K for Orphan fundraiser is on Saturday, October 15th, in conjunction with Abounding Love Christian Fellowship's Harvest Festival in Ravenna, New York. Come run or walk the 5K. Push a stroller and just enjoy that time with your family. Help support a good cause. Bring your family and stay for the Harvest Festival. Lots of free fall family fun right there in Ravenna at Faith Plaza. And our Orphan Conference featuring father-daughter team Ree and Sydney O'Leary of Feeding the Orphans will be our keynote speakers. That event is on Saturday, October 22nd at Faith Baptist Church in Rexford, New York. Details and registration for both of those events at our website, justicefororphansny.org. And last but not least, Orphan Sunday is on November 13th this year. Will your church be observing Orphan Sunday along with the thousands of other churches across the United States? And I've gotten the news that there are already 81 countries globally who are committed to observing Orphan Sunday for 2016. So get your church on board, go to orphansunday.org and get your church on the map. We want to see a great showing, especially here in New York State. We want to see lots of churches on the map for Orphan Sunday this year. It's a perfect time. Orphan Sunday is the perfect time to start that conversation in your church or to keep the conversation going or to do a project or a fundraiser. One of the things Abounding Love Church is doing in Ravenna this year is we are doing backpacks. We're collecting for backpacks that we're going to be giving to a local foster care organization. So there's lots of wonderful things you can do in conjunction with Orphan Sunday. For free resources and more details on that, you can go to orphansunday.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.